This is Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Strange Harbor, online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor, be strange.
Well, it's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird.
The strange, the unseemly, and the unscathed.
Unseemly and unscathed. We are very unseemly.
We're on.
Unscathed.
We're on.
On something.
We're on something.
Your beard's getting pretty shaggy.
I know. I'm growing it out.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You'd be one of those hippie beardo people?
I've never grown it out this far before. I haven't shaved in over 40 years.
You look like a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And speaking of Bigfoot, we don't have a Bigfoot as a guest, but we have a researcher, a Sasquatch researcher, Jen Cruz, the founding member of the She Squatchers. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Who are the She Squatchers?
We're the first all-female Bigfoot research team in the Midwest. That's who we are. And we absolutely love looking for Bigfoot. I'm totally hooked. It's an obsession at this point.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. How did you get into being a Sasquatch researcher?
I had a paranormal radio show that for quite a few years, and I didn't really believe in Bigfoot. I didn't know anything about Bigfoot. Hadn't even thought about Bigfoot until I was offered an interview with Lauren Coleman, cryptozoologist. He's got the International Cryptozoology Museum in Maine. I'm sure you know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was interviewing him for my show, and he was so passionate about everything that he was sharing, and I really enjoyed everything that he was talking about, and it was so interesting that I started to become interested in Bigfoot. And then he said something very interesting to me. He said that he thought the recipe for success in finding Bigfoot would be to send women into the woods without men, dogs, or guns, anything threatening. And he thought that would bring the Bigfoot in closer to have a little look-see at the ladies.
Right.
He had several reasons why he thought that would be a good idea. First of all, he thought the ladies who have done all the great work with the great apes, like Jane Goodall and the chimpanzees, he said that women have a natural good rapport with the great apes. He thought that would also extend to Bigfoot. Then he said usually when people see Bigfoot near a roadway, it's never like a family unit of Bigfoots. Mom, dad, and babies out for a stroll. It's usually a younger male out by himself, probably doing all the things he's not supposed to be doing. And he thought that these younger male Bigfoots would be a little bit more interested in getting in a little closer to have a look-see at some ladies out there without anything threatening with them. So that was his idea. And, you know, at first I jokingly volunteered on the air. And by the end of the interview, I was like, you know what? I actually do volunteer. I really will volunteer. I'll try this. So got a couple of ladies together, a few ladies together, and we went out to look. Now, I live in the state of Minnesota, and I had grown up in the woods, part Native American. Being in the woods was natural for me by myself all the time growing up as a kid. I had never seen anything that would lead me to believe that Bigfoot was in the woods of Minnesota. So I really didn't think we'd find anything out there. I was shocked to find something out there.
What did you find?
On our very first trip, believe it or not, we went to a location where there had been a sighting a few weeks earlier. We didn't know exactly where. I just knew that it was near a boat launch along the shoreline of this lake. And the only boat launch that was listed on this lake was on one side of the lake, which I didn't think made sense. It didn't feel right to me. I said, I think Bigfoot would probably be more likely to be on the other side of the lake where there were no homes or people. So there was a little road going along and through this thick forested area along this one side of the lake that's like 3 miles. It's called Six Mile Lake because it's 6 miles around, but it's a very long, skinny lake. One side of the lake has homes, and the other side has just thick forest. That's it. And there's a road that goes through that forest called Reservation Highway 20. Believe you me, that is a one-car road. It's dirt. It's got trees right up on the edge of it. If you meet a car on that road, good luck. One of you has to back up. And it's not going to be me because I'm not that good at backing up. We're going to look to see if we can find any Bigfoot around this lake since there had been a sighting. But one interesting thing about us is, you know, I am a psychic medium. I've worked with missing persons cases, finding missing people's bodies and things like that. So the other thing that I thought about when the idea came is, can we use those techniques that I've used in the past for missing persons cases to find Bigfoot before we ever get there? Can I use those senses to find Bigfoot? So that was kind of the fun little offshoot of my experiment with the all-female Bigfoot experiment. When we were looking, I had my senses wide open to feel anything different than I'd ever felt before. I did feel an energy different in this one particular location where we didn't find anything physically there during the day that would lead us to believe that Bigfoot would be there, but the energy of the place was just vibrating so heavily in a way that I'd never felt before. So I marked that spot as an interesting location to check out later when it got dark.
Mm-hmm.
And then up the road at the top of the lake on the gravel road, that's Reservation Highway 20, we were walking on it to get across this bridge. There was actually footprints in the road when it must have rained, and then a Bigfoot must have walked there, and then it hardened. But it wasn't something deep enough to cast, but you could definitely see the footprints. They were very defined, but not deep. We didn't have anything with us to do any casting anyway. We didn't even have a tape measure. That's how much we expected to find something.
Right.
We didn't bring anything like that.
Right.
So me being the tallest person on the team, I was trying to see, could I match this stride that we're seeing in this footprint, trek of footprints? And so I'm running and leaping as far as I can leap next to these to see if I can meet anything even close to that, and I couldn't even meet anything close to it. So we were smart enough to take pictures with, you know, dollar bills next to the footprints. So for sizing, we don't just put our foot down next to the print.
Right.
We were smart enough to use something that's a size that is something that everybody knows the size of a dollar bill. I mean, that was our day trip, and then in the evening we returned to that location where I felt that energy was different. We get out of the car, and one of my teammates had borrowed a FLIR thermal camera from somebody. She never even got instructions on how to use it. She thought it could just take pictures. She says, you pull the trigger and it takes a picture. I'm like, okay, cool. So she hands it to me, and I'm playing with it. I'm just scanning the woods. And immediately out of the car, everybody else went to the back hatch to get their equipment out of the back of the car. Now, the majority of these ladies on the team at the time were paranormal investigators, so they had night vision cameras and things like that for doing investigations on haunted locations in homes and things like that. So they're getting their stuff out of the back of the car. I'm scanning the woods at the front, just seeing what this camera is about, because this is our first time out in the dark. I get to the point where I'm pointing it towards the road where if we had continued to drive, that's where we would have driven. And all of a sudden, there is someone standing there on the thermal camera. Now, it is so dark there, you can't see anything. There is no ambient light. The woods are so thick. I don't even know if there had been a moon, if it would have lit anything up. I don't know. But it was so dark, you couldn't see anything. So I'm looking through this on the screen of this little thermal camera, and I'm seeing someone standing there showing up with red body heat and a humanoid shape. And I just assumed that one of my teammates had grabbed her gear and walked out in front of the car. I said, oh, who's in front of the car? And nobody replied. And I said, hey, who's in front of the car? And nobody replied. And I kept asking who's in front of the car with a little bit more anxiety in my voice with every time I asked, and nobody answered. Pretty soon, one of my teammates, Marlo, she ran up to the front of the car with me, and she's like, what's going on? She looked to see where I was pointing at with the FLIR. She said, oh, I just saw eyes. And so I looked up from the screen to see if I could see eyes, and when I looked back down, I couldn't see the body on my screen anymore, and I couldn't find it again. And it had been, you know, 30 to 50 feet in front of the car, I'm estimating. There was something standing there when we got out of the car, which was really bizarre to me. And so then, you know, we brushed ourselves off, couldn't find anything with the FLIR at that point, so we decided we were going to now walk off into the woods. We had three of us on one side of the road and two of us on the other. And so the three of us we were to the left. We started to take a few steps into the woods, and all of a sudden we hear something coming down through the trees, and then something falls in front of us and bounces. And we just kind of stopped and looked at it, and I said, is that a rock? Then you hear another one coming through the trees. You can hear it coming through the branches, and it drops just 3 foot in front of us, and it bounces. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a rock. And rocks were being thrown at us, but never coming close enough to hit us. But you could always hear them coming, and then they'd fall right in front of us. At that time, I'm going to tell you, I didn't know anything about Bigfoot. I had maybe watched 5 episodes of Finding Bigfoot on TV.
Mm-hmm.
That was the extent of my knowledge. And I didn't know that Bigfoot was known for throwing rocks at people. I had no clue. All I knew was that I'm in my home state, where I grew up in the woods. Nothing has ever thrown rocks at me before.
Right.
And we're on the side of this lake where there are no homes and there are no people for miles. You know, it's not like it's a highly populated area anyway. The town that's nearby has a cafe and a gas station, and that is it.
Right, so the chances of just somebody being out there, just a human doing that, is highly unlikely as it is, right?
Highly unlikely. And nobody knew we were there. You know, it would be one thing if people knew we were coming or, you know, nobody knew we were there. I didn't know that Bigfoot was known for throwing rocks, so I was just in shock, like, what's happening here? And I opened my awareness, and I thought, well, what does this mean, something's throwing rocks at us? To me, it means don't walk this way. So we respected that, and we didn't walk that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we rejoined the other two of that were along with us, and we were standing out in front of the car on the road. Now, granted, the trees are right up on the road. There's only room for one car to drive on this little tiny road. And all of a sudden we hear something start walking towards us and cracking sticks. And it's bipedal movement. It's big, whatever it is. And it's walking and it's cracking and cracking sticks as it's walking. And so we're focused all of our equipment in that direction where we're hearing the sounds coming from. And so all of the video cameras are picking up the sound, but none of these night vision cameras are strong enough to penetrate the woods. They were made for ghost hunting in houses.
Yeah.
They weren't powerful enough to light up the woods.
Mm-hmm.
In the dark like that. So we didn't have the right kind. We thought we had good equipment, but not for outside. We had never tested it like that before. And so we couldn't see anything. And even with the thermal, I wasn't seeing anything there. Now, granted, we were on a Native American reservation at the time, and I am part Ojibwe. We were on an Ojibwe reservation, and I do speak some of the language. And so one of my teammates got scared, and we're standing there, back to back in a circle facing out. Now, I looked at us, and I thought, wow, you know, we haven't talked about what to do if we're in trouble, but here we are, we're naturally taking this defensive position. That's pretty good.
Right.
That's pretty good. Because we're hearing sounds coming from different directions, same kind of sound. So one of my teammates yelled out, Jen, do your tobacco thing. And so she's asking me to do an Ojibwe prayer offering with tobacco. So I grabbed the tobacco out of my pocket and I started to pray out loud in Ojibwe. And as soon as I said, Miigwetchkichi Sabe, which is thank you, Bigfoot, everything stopped.
Wow.
Everything stopped.
Wow.
And it didn't, like, go away. It didn't walk away. It just stopped. And we just stood there in silence. And I finished my prayer, and we just stood there, and we were waiting for, you know, what do we do now? And one of my teammates says, all right, well, maybe we should go check out that place where we found the footprints earlier today. And I said, yeah, that's a good idea. And so we jumped in the car and we drove away. We didn't know what to do.
Right.
We were like, okay, we're having this experience. And we were all completely shocked by it. Most of the girls that were on the team at the time got in the car and didn't want to get back out again. They were scared. And one of them said, this is so scary. Put me in a haunted house. Things are flying through the air. I don't care. This is so scary. I can't handle it.
Right. I can appreciate that. I was scared out of my mind in some of my travels, and it's hard to explain that fear. At least it's hard for me to explain it. But, yeah, it's just like, oh, my gosh, this is real. This is actually happening.
And I was hooked at that point. I was like, let's do it again.
Have you had other experiences since then?
We have had really cool experiences. We've been finding different things like footprints long trekways of footprints up like gravel pit hills
mm-hmm.
that are so steep that, even Bobo from Finding Bigfoot said that that couldn't have been a man or a bear, because it was so steep. And we have the trekway going all the way to the top. And it was really fun watching some of my teammates try to climb up next to these footprints. They would take a step, and they were on their hands and feet, and they'd take a step, and they'd slide down at least 6 inches. You know, so it was really, really difficult for them to climb up next to them to measure the footprints that we found. So, you know, we found things like that. We found big den-like stick structures that have towers in them that are two, three stories tall. And, again, I showed this to Bobo from Finding Bigfoot, and he was so interested. He said that if they hadn't canceled his show, he would have been on the phone getting everybody scheduled to come up there and look at that, because he'd never seen anything like that.
Oh, man.
And there are quite a few of those types of structures up on my reservation where my mom comes from. And it's a very unpopulated reservation. It's a very large expanse of land that is highly unpopulated.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the reservation DNR, they often come across these types of den-like structures, and they just walk away because they're scared of what's making these. They're like, you know, we know that it isn't people, and we know that bears and wolves and, you know, the animals don't make this kind of thing.
Right.
Something is making this. And they believe it's Bigfoot, and they just respectfully walk away and stay away from it.
How about documentation? Do you guys do much documentation, or do you kind of like take the other kind of like more of the non-documentation type of research?
We definitely record our GPS coordinates, so we know exactly where we have been, the time, the day. We take as much video as we can with the best cameras that we have, which are not always the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, I wish we had like a TV quality camera. That would be awesome.
Right.
And it's interesting because in the woods, I'm sure that you're aware that in the woods, everything seems a little bit darker, especially when you're going inside of something.
Mm-hmm.
So that has been a challenge for us to light up the inside of a structure when it's daytime outside, but inside this thing, it looks dark.
Right. Right. That's crazy. Wow.
Yes, yes. We've had different reports coming to us from Native people. And here's the thing about the reports on reservations in Minnesota. The Ojibwe believe that Bigfoot is their older brother and that he looks out for us. And, he's very embedded into the belief systems. Even the seven sacred teachings of the grandfathers include Bigfoot. And so Bigfoot is a very sacred being, and he's not a mythological maybe Bigfoot exists. To the Ojibwe, he is a very real creature, a very real being that is our big brother and looks out for us. He's always going to be with the people. And to be honest with you, they don't usually report Bigfoot sightings to researchers,
mm-hmm.
or the BFRO or anybody like that, because they believe that when they see Bigfoot or they encounter some Bigfoot experience, that this is some type of a spiritual sign to them in their own personal life. It's a message.
Yes.
So they go to their spiritual advisor. White people would probably call that a medicine man,
mm-hmm.
but that's not what they call themselves. But they go to their spiritual advisor, and they tell them what happened, and they ask them to interpret, what does this mean for me in my life? What was the message? And that's why it doesn't get reported to Bigfoot research teams. Because I come from that reservation, and they're very familiar with me, and I do some contract work up there with the tribe, sometimes I'm staying up there for a week or two at a time. And, you know, elders will come and have breakfast with me, and sometimes they'll bring me a Bigfoot story.
Ooh.
So I've been getting some reports from them, which they would normally never report to anybody, but because they know me and they know that I'm interested in this, and I'm always asking for traditional stories. Do you have any traditional stories of Bigfoot? Also, because those are also very interesting to me, and I'd love to document those and get them written down. And so it's been fun to receive the stories from the people that will share and who come to share with me. And there was one particular time I was up there working a contract, and a couple of elders came to have breakfast with me before the day started. And he said, you know, Jen, I heard that you've been looking for Bigfoot? And I said, yes, I have. If you have any traditional stories, I would love to hear them. And anything you have to share, I would love to hear it. And he said, well, you know, do you know where I live? And I said, I know where you live. And he said, do you know our grandchildren live with us? And I said, yes. And he said, well, our grandchildren love to play in the woods. And he said, one day they came home, and my granddaughter said they found a really cool fort in the woods. And so as they're explaining this really cool fort they were really excited about, it sounded very fishy to me, so I asked them just to take me to it so I could see it. And he said, we were just really upset when we saw what these girls were talking about. Something had pulled two trees out of the ground, all roots and all, and flipped them upside down and teepeed them together with the roots in the air. And then he said, you walk right underneath that, and you just keep going a few hundred feet until you come along to this hogan-looking structure. And I said, can you describe to me what that is? And he said, it's kind of like a wigwam, you know, a rounded,
little
thing.
Yeah.
But everything isn't tied together. It was weaved together. These trees were replaced and weaved together. Nothing was tied or nailed. And if it had been native built, it would have been tied together with ribbon.
Right. Wow.
Some type of homemade rope. And nothing was tied together. It was just weaved together, this very large den-like structure. And he said it had a doorway, but no door, just like a doorway. He said, and you walk into the doorway, and it's a very large area on the ground that quite a few of them could have laid down on. And at the back of it, there was a hole in the ground that went down into a tunnel/cave area. And he said, when my granddaughters found this, they went down in there.
Oh.
And they checked it out, and they just thought it was the coolest thing ever. And he said, I didn't go down into the tunnel. He said, I told my granddaughters, we got to get out of here. And he told them never to go near that place again. And if they ever found anything even remotely like that, they were supposed to stay far, far away from it and tell him right away. And he said, we were very scared because they went down in there. They went inside that, and they went down into that tunnel. And he said, whatever built that thing, if it doesn't live there anymore, something else could have moved in there. We could have lost our granddaughters that day.
Right.
And so he's very freaked out. He said that he's had things walk, what he believes to be Bigfoot, walk past his house. He says as it walked by, his house shook. And his dogs, who normally bark at everything, they're German Shepherds, normally bark at everything and are very aggressive, were up at the door whining and scratching trying to get into the house.
Oh, wow.
And he goes, I'm smart enough to stay away from that stuff. He goes, I respect it. I'm smart enough to stay away from it. But if you want to go look at it, I'll tell you where it's at.
right. Wow. Well, we're talking with Jen Cruz, the founding member of the She Squatchers, all-female Bigfoot research team. More coming up on Strange Harbor.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
Well, it's Strange Harbor, and we talk about the weird. Our guest today, Jen Cruz of the She Squatchers. Any other experiences you'd feel like sharing?
Let me tell you a little bit about remote viewing, because I am a remote viewer. And
okay.
Last October, we really got to show other researchers what we could do with that, which was totally fun. Because I use remote viewing and looking for Bigfoot. It really makes us different than what other Bigfoot researchers are doing.
Mm-hmm.
As a remote viewer, it is actually a psychic thing, but the government was part of developing it. They did a whole bunch of experiments and set up programs to develop controlled remote viewing. And they've actually had teams of people who are remote viewers that are doing like spy work for the government for many, many years now.
Wow.
And it really is effective. And the type of remote viewing that I'm doing, I call control, and it's not controlled remote viewing because that requires a moderator who is in charge of asking you questions and you don't know what it is that you're looking at. I use what I call geographic remote viewing, where I'm looking at satellite imagery, I'm looking at areas from above, I'm looking at basically satellite pictures, and that's how I lock down a location. So I look at the map from above, and I'm asking, is there any Bigfoot here? Is there any Bigfoot evidence here that we could collect? And I'm waiting for something to change on the picture to show me a location. And what I see on the picture changes in response to my question if there is something there. And it doesn't mean that other people are going to see that. It definitely is just how I'm accessing information. And the way that that comes across to me a lot of the times is I'll see a face of a Bigfoot, and it actually shows me an expression to let me know what kind of Bigfoot that is. Is it male, female, or is it aggressive or not? And the area that I'm seeing the face is, I see that's where it is, that's where its location is at, and that's kind of its term. And I had one example where I saw that, and about 200 feet away from that, I saw an area that lit up a golden light, the whole area, that in response to me asking for Bigfoot evidence that we could collect. And so I marked that, circled that area where I was seeing that golden light. You know, I take a screenshot of what I'm looking at and, you know, mark that area. And I mark it with, you know, a drop of pin, so I have the GPS coordinates as well, so we can get right to it. And between those two areas on that particular remote view, there had looked to be some type of a trail. I hoped it was a drivable trail because it was pretty deep in the woods. And I wasn't sure because I'd never been to that area before on the reservation. And when we went there, I found the trail, and I'm like, okay, we can drive it. It was iffy to drive it. It was less than a minimum maintenance road. It was a homemade trail made through the woods by the local natives to go collect down trees for firewood. So it was less than a minimum maintenance trail. And when we were driving on it, I actually uploaded on our YouTube channel some of the video of us driving on this trail. The trees are scraping up alongside, up on the car, like the old mops on a car wash.
Yeah.
The trees were doing that to the car. Everybody can cringe as they see that happening to my truck, which is all rusted out now thanks to that. We got out there, and to that specific location between those two, we actually had rocks thrown at us when I started to look into the area where I saw the aggressive male. And I was like, okay, don't go that way. And one of my other teammates was like, I'm seeing something over here, which was, I had said, if we go right, that's the aggressive male about 100 feet into the woods. If we go left, that's about within 100 feet is where we're going to start to see the Bigfoot evidence we could collect, whatever that could be. So my other teammate was looking left, and she's like, I see something back there. And so I'm like, duh, don't go towards the aggressive male. Go to the evidence.
Right.
What was I thinking? So went over to the other side, and Jenna was still grabbing her gear. She wasn't really ready to go. And I start to see movement back there. I start walking towards it. I'm like, Jenna, come on. Jenna, come on. Jenna, come on. And I was getting kind of mean with her because I wanted to catch it on video, whatever was back there, before it left.
Right.
And so I'm walking towards it by myself, which I was kind of scared to do that. I didn't want to be walking towards it by myself.
Right.
She's finally coming along, and we get back there, and that there was this huge den-like structure back there. It was absolutely huge, and we didn't even realize how big it was until we got around to the side of it. It was huge. And when we come out to the Sasquatch Summit, we're going to show you a video of this.
Okay.
So you can see how big it is. It's huge. And poor Jenna, she's my measurement of 5'5", and when you put her next to this and you see how big it is, it's just shocking. It was shocking. And it was so well weaved together. It was weaved together. And, Jenna got inside of it. I said, you know, would you be protected from the rain in there? She's like, yeah, I think I would be. It was very nice. She said the ground felt very, very soft inside of there, and there was no sticks or twigs or rocks inside of there. It felt like a soft, soft mattress inside there. She says, it feels like somebody worked the ground up in here.
Hmm.
It's so soft. Well, I didn't know this at the time. It wasn't until I got back to my office in town, and I started to look at the video, and I was showing it to my office neighbor, who was a military man who taught survival in the Army. And he told me, he says, well, Jen, in the state of Minnesota, in the cooler months, you can't sleep on the ground. Like, in September, you can't sleep on the ground. You could get hypothermia because it'll pull the heat right out of your body. You
yeah.
have to work the ground up several inches down into the ground, or you'll get hypothermia if you lay on the ground. I had no idea. And whatever built this had worked the ground up
wow.
inside of the structure. I've been learning a lot more about survival stuff as I find things
yeah.
and find out that this was necessary
right.
if you were going to sleep on the ground and survive in the cooler months. You have to work up the ground in order to sleep on it.
We have these great ape nests in the Olympics.
That's
Are they similar to those?
No, these were not nests at all. They were structures that were built up around
wow.
Providing walls and roofs. And even dug down, like even in the one structure that we found, it was dug down behind it, and then you could see that the trees were laid over top of it like a roof, down into the ground a little bit. So it was even subterranean a little bit with trees laid over the top
right.
as the roof.
Wow.
So it was definitely, you know, but we get really cold here. I don't know how cold your winters get, but we can get negative 50 below zero here.
Oh, my gosh.
And what's interesting is we've never seen, I happen to wonder, how are they surviving our winters without fire? How are they doing that? And I suppose in the thicker forests, you know, if they're digging down a little bit into the ground, it has to be the way that they're doing it, because I've not seen any evidence of fire anywhere near any of these things.
Do you think that there are different species of Bigfoot or different breeds, or do you think they're all kind of the same species?
I think that there probably are differences in the types of Bigfoot. You know, we have skunk ape down in Florida that seems different than what we have up in Minnesota. The one that we found, we had encountered one in Tennessee last October. We were down there for the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, and we were hooked up to go out looking for Bigfoot with some of the local Bigfoot researchers, and they had sold tickets for people to go out Bigfooting with us, and it just so happened that I had a really bad case of bronchitis, and they had selected for us to go to a mountaintop to go
oh,
hiking for
yeah.
miles on top of this mountain, and I was like, I'm having trouble breathing the way it is, and they put me in the thinner air and hiking. I don't know if I can do that right now.
Right.
So my two teammates went with them, and we decided it wasn't probably smart for me. So I said, hey, girls, send me the GPS coordinates when you're out there so I can just remote view it while you're there. Because I didn't know where we were going, and I never go into the woods without remote viewing it first, ever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my thing.
Yeah.
That's why we are so successful in finding things, is because we're finding it before we get there.
Yeah.
We're locking down a location before we even get there. So they sent me the GPS coordinates of where they were, and I started remote viewing that whole area and marking GPS coordinates of places that I was seeing interesting things. And when they were done, we had dinner together, and I showed them, these are the areas that I'm seeing stuff. I would really like to go out there. We weren't allowed to take the group out after dark on this mountain for liability reasons, but we decided just us Bigfoot researchers were going to go back. And so we drove. It was an hour drive from where we were at. I didn't know how far away we were at from this thing. We drove there, drove up to the top of this mountain, and parked the car near where I was seeing something earlier. And I had never done this before. I had not tried remote viewing in the moment to see, asking, what's here right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. How'd that
and
turn
I
out?
And I did that. I did that for the first time. What's here right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a Bigfoot 30 feet from the car. And it was dark out, so we couldn't see it. But I pointed that way,
mm-hmm.
30 feet that way. And Tammy grabbed the FLIR camera. We now have a FLIR scout.
Oh, yeah?
We have better equipment now. Tammy grabbed the FLIR camera, which is Jenna's. She didn't know how to make it record, but she knew how to turn it on. And she's looking at it, and she's like, oh, my God, how do I make this record? how do I make this record? Because she's seeing something there. Mm-hmm. And so finally Jenna grabbed it and turned it to record and handed it back to her. And so we've got quite a few minutes of footage of this, what appears to be a Bigfoot, sitting there working with something in the ground that is coming up as a warm body temperature that was working on something. And we had it set on black hot, the setting. So on that setting, bare skin looks gray or black.
Mm-hmm.
If it's you know, showing up the body temperature, and hair shows up as stark white. So
wow.
It looks like a stark white being there with a conal-shaped head, big muscular arms, working on something on the ground that is showing up as gray. And so it's body temperature without fur on the ground. And so we uploaded 6 minutes of that to our YouTube channel. The video is called Tennessee Bigfoot Expedition. So people can check that out if they'd like to. Our YouTube channel is Chief Watchers Official, and that video is called Tennessee Bigfoot Expedition. We weren't able to go back there during the daylight because we were scheduled to leave early in the morning the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of a bummer. But Matthew Delf from Mountain Empire Cryptid Researchers Organization, he went back there during the day and checked out that specific location where we had filmed it. And he said right there, the ground actually is a drop-off, like a hillside. And he said it was like it was, because we could only see, at first we thought it was sitting, because we were seeing it from, like, the waist up.
Yeah.
And so we assumed it was sitting, but he said, I don't think it was sitting. I think it was standing on the hillside and using this as a countertop. We weren't seeing it from the waist down, and he said, right there it drops off, and it would be perfect to use as a countertop. That was very, very interesting. That's our remote viewing as our secret weapon. You know, we don't just trek into the woods and hope we find something. We're going in knowing that there's something there already.
Now, you hear a lot of reports of kind of like UFO and Sasquatch kind of things happen at the same time. Do you guys ever experience anything like that?
We have had some strange light activity.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one particular case where someone had reported seeing a Bigfoot during the day walking from one clump of trees to the other clump of trees in the middle of this marshy bog. And they saw this from the road. And so we found out who owned the land and tried to get permission to go out there and investigate. And the landowner said, this is a marshy bog. You cannot go out there. You could fall through and die.
Wow.
You fall through the bog and die. You know, good luck finding your way back out again. It's worse than falling through the ice. And so he wouldn't give us permission to go out there. He says, you can't go out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, I'd still like to investigate it. How could we do that? So we decided that Jenna had this unocular device, which could see really well in the dark, really far away. It was very far away looking. And I said, let's take that out there at night, really late at night when there's nobody going to be driving by. We'll just park the car and we'll just investigate it from the road with this unocular. So we're parked out there for quite a long time. And she's looking through, you know, only one of us can look through the device at a time. So she's recording and looking through the device. And I'm just looking at the area with my naked eye, you know. And after a while, I started to see these lights coming out of the woods out there. And I had already looked at the area from above. I knew that there was no road behind there. I knew that there was nothing driving in there, you know. But there were these lights coming out of the forest, in and out, in and out. And I said, Jenna, can you see those lights through the unocular? And so she found them and got them on the recording of from the unocular. And we uploaded that to our YouTube channel. That's called Strange Lights. But, you know, again, I rechecked the satellite, you know, looking down at the area. There was no road behind there. It couldn't have been a car lights or anything like that. It didn't move as car lights anyway. But, you know, my skeptical mind is like, well, what could have that have been?
Right, right. What could have done that?
What else could that have been? And we know that nobody goes back there because he doesn't let anybody go back there. He said it was so unsafe to go back there.
Yeah.
So there was strange lights coming from the area where somebody had reported seeing Bigfoot walking into those trees. So that was very odd. We've had, there was one particular time where it was 3 weeks after the very first time we went out. I couldn't wait to get back out again. So myself and another teammate decided to go out there, and nobody else could come along. And to be honest, some of them were too scared to go again, so
yeah.
That was it. So finding the right team members has been key for us, because a lot of those ladies get scared and don't want to do it again.
It's scary.
Yes, I know. The team I have now, they're pretty fearless. Sometimes I'm like, you are too fearless. It's crazy. I can't believe you want to go in there.
Right. Wow.
We go back, and this time we brought men with us. And we got to the location where it had felt so different, and it just didn't feel like that at all anymore. And my teammate and I are like, you know, maybe it's because the guys are here, you know. So we decided that they needed to go away now. And I actually texted her from the back seat of the vehicle when we were going from one spot to another. I'm like, we need to ditch them.
Right. Right.
So we had them drop us off in the woods and drive away. And this was in the location where there had been a Bigfoot sighting again. And it was a more aggressive Bigfoot sighting, mm-hmm. that had been reported. A native man had been fishing in his canoe, and it was getting dark, so he was trying to come in. And it was a boat launch that was an old boat launch that had been used only by the native local people. It wasn't an official boat launch. There was no dock there. They would just launch their canoes from that location.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been starting to come into the shore, and there was a Bigfoot standing in the water up to his knees along the shoreline, and he was aggressively moving along the shore, matching the movement of the canoe going along the shoreline.
Ooh.
And he was, I think the Bigfoot wanted him to give him his fish.
Yeah.
That's what I think he wanted.
Often the case.
But the gentleman didn't feel comfortable coming any closer, so he stayed out in his canoe for another 2 hours waiting for the coast to be clear. And finally, his cell phone had gone dead, so he couldn't even call for help. And when he didn't come home, and everybody knew he was out fishing, some of his family members came out to the boat launch area and started honking their horn and looking for him, because they thought something had happened to him when he didn't come home. And that scared the Bigfoot away. And so he came in and got to the shore that way. But the next day, he came out with his friends, and he had seen where it had gone into the woods from the shoreline. And he went out there, big, huge, muddy footprints, and it was amazing. So that was more of an aggressive, you know, Bigfoot trying to get something from him, I think, is what he... I think he just wanted his fish. I don't think he would have harmed him.
Right.
But this is where we had the guys drop us off.
Oh. Yeah.
So they had driven away and parked a ways away. But it was dark out, and they could see where we were sometimes when we turn on our flashlights. And so they could see us from afar through the woods. And my teammate's husband said he had watched this green light following us above the treetops for about 35 minutes. He said, I was sure that you must have seen it. And I'm like, I didn't see anything. And he said, it followed you for like 35 minutes.
Wow.
And I'm like, did you get it on camera? He's like, you have the cameras. But the two guys, they saw the green light following us for about 35 minutes right above the tree line. And I have seen those green lights before. I've seen them, and I didn't know what they were at the time. I had seen them at a woman's retreat. Years before that, I'd seen one going above the treetops. And it really looks like somebody pulled the light out of a green traffic light.
Mm-hmm.
And that light itself is just, you know, skipping along the treetops. Very interesting stuff.
Yeah.
The natives, you know, have a lot to say about that. I've seen ones that look like fire, balls of fire.
Mm-hmm.
And those are really affiliated with the medicine people of the tribe, that they say. And I've had some experiences with some of those and on my own reservation, which are really quite interesting. I have a video of one, which I can show you in person. I don't even put that on YouTube. I think that's such a sacred gift that I got that on video,
right,
that I just really show it to people in person.
When you're out looking for Bigfoot, are you following up on a lead that somebody gave you or a sighting that someone had, or are you just going out on your own and doing this as an individual?
Sometimes a little bit of both. We've got instances of a little bit of both. There was one time where we were following up on somebody had reported seeing what they thought was a monkey in this old gravel pit that is no longer used anymore. And in the reservation, the natives used the gravel pit for for target practice, because then they don't have to worry about their stray bullets if they're down in the pit.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a native couple who, you know, when these reports come in, you hear whether they're reputable or people or not, you know, you hear that come in through, these are respected elders in the community reporting this. And the lady said that they were doing target practice down in the gravel pit, and this, what she thought was a monkey, jumped out of the bush and started screaming at her. And she thought that a monkey had escaped from a zoo somewhere, so she started calling around, and nobody had reported a monkey being missing, and everybody kind of laughed at her. But her and her husband both saw it. And so we decided we were going to check out that old gravel pit. And when we were down there, there were so many footprints of different kinds of animals, and we saw what we thought could have been Bigfoot footprints in amongst them, but it was such a high traffic area that I thought, you know, this just isn't the clear cut footprints that I'd really like to find. So we decided to move up the road to an area that I had never been on the reservation called the Ceded Lands, and I was really excited to go up there because I heard there were lots of Bigfoot sightings up there. And as we're driving, about 55 miles an hour, my teammate Nikki was driving, and I've got my awareness wide open, which I don't drive like that. I mean, I'm not the driver when I do that. That's dangerous. But since I was a passenger, I took my awareness wide open. And all of a sudden, I felt energy pull me to the right. It was that same vibration that I had felt at the other location where we had found the very first night when we had rocks thrown at us. It was that same vibration.
Yeah.
And I felt it pull me to the right, and I screamed, "Stop the car! There's something in that woods back there. We need to get back in that woods right there." And so we turned around, and we found where we could drive back into that woods, and behind the woods right there was this other gravel pit that we didn't know was there, and it was a newer gravel pit. And we pulled in there, and there they were, clear as day, these footprints going straight up to the top of this gravel pit hill, and it was such a steep hill. And the footprints were, the largest one of them was 24 inches long, but I think it had slid. The smallest was 18 inches long, and it had clearly 5 toes. It was very fresh.
Wow.
It was amazing. It was amazing to find those. But, you know, there we hadn't had a report right there. We were driving 55 miles an hour, and I felt it.
Right.
So what's really cool about being on my reservation is that there's only 2 reservations in America that are not ceded to the United States, meaning that nobody owns the land. It's not technically in America. And so the land is held in trust by all tribal members. Nobody owns it.
Mm.
And so as long as you have a tribal member with you, you can go wherever you want. You don't have to stop and ask, who owns this land? Can I get permission? You go there, you're good. You
right.
can go wherever you want. As long as you're not peeping in somebody's windows, which we would never do anyway.
Right, right.
You know those weird little, you know, people post pictures of the stick structures that kind of look like teepee-like structures in the woods, and sometimes they're smaller, you know, whatever. I used to look at those and go, yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to do that? What use would that be for anything?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, you know, that was my skeptical mind thinking, yeah, whatever, you know, when I would see those on other people's stuff. But then when I found those types of things right outside of these den-like structures, then I started changing my mind. They must mean something to them.
Well, we are out of time, Jen. I wish we could talk longer.
Quickly tell us how we can get in touch with you. Do you have a website?
Website is shesquatchers.com. Our YouTube channel is SheSquatchers Official. And, of course, we're on Facebook. That's where most of our stuff's updated. The most up-to-date stuff is on Facebook. So find us on Facebook, SheSquatchers Official.
Man, it's been such a delight talking to you today.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to meeting you next month at Sasquatch Summit.
Yeah. November 22nd through the 24th. Woo-woo! We'll see you there.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, the SheSquatchers, they're coming down for the Sasquatch Summit next month. So get your tickets available through the SasquatchSummit.com, or you can get room packages at the Sweetgrass Hotel in Ocean Shores or Quinault Beach Resort Casino. Go to their respective websites for more info on the packages that include tickets to the summit. And if you want to listen to this interview again, or listen to past episodes, or contact Bill and yell at him for his new age TUI, just log on to StrangeHarbor.net.
And stay strange.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, Ghosts, UFOs, Alien, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.